Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we ask you to watch over us and protect us and give us the understanding that we need to show and to tell others about you and Jesus Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, what a beautiful day it is because we have Jesus and all of the wonderful things that we love and all just the very nice things in life. And to think that how it could be a lot different. And we just have to remember the blessings we have and be thankful. There's so many wonderful things we have today that if we had lived 100 or 1,000 years ago, it would be so much different. You see, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, somewhere in between there, almost everyone was a farmer to one degree or another. Everybody had a farm, so to speak. They grew their vegetables and their grains, and they had chickens and smaller animals, and it was just so very different. They had to tend their garden and their animals and everything else, and cook over a wood fire. Oh, what a difference! It's just so nice to have life the way we live it today. We can buy our food already prepared if we want to. And it's just a wonderful thing to live today. And you think back 90 years ago, about 1930, less than one-third of the homes in the United States had a bathroom in their home. Wow! Isn't it just hard to believe? That's the way it was about 100 years ago. Things were so very different. outhouse, wow. Yep, just different. And we have so many amazingly wonderful things today. Conveniences. And we can buy our food in the store and don't have to have a plot of land to grow it on. Wow, that's all I can say is wow. Last week, I just happened to have drove through an orchard. Well, orchard on one side, and on the other side, all the trees had been taken out because they were old fruit trees. It was an older orchard. And all the trees, every single one of them, had been pushed over and are ready to be pulled out so that they could plant a different crop. And let's see, I think it was, just in my estimation, I'd say 250 acres of fruit trees. So it was not a small orchard. It was a lot of work, a lot of expense. And I thought about a story that my dad told me when I was young, and he told me about the story when he was young. And this would have been about 1930. He and his brother had contracted to take out an orchard, to take out every tree that was there planted in it. And at that time, there was no heavy equipment available to him. And so him and his brother, they had to take out that orchard by hand, using hand tools, basically. And I thought about, wow, what a lot of work to do by hand. But they did it. But they used something. You might have heard of Archimedes. He had a theory about a lever and fulcrum, and said anything could be moved, even the earth, if you had a long enough lever. But the point is that my dad and his brother took out these orchard, this fruit trees, by using, in a sense, a leverage, because they would tie one tree that they would fall to pull out the stump of the last one. And so it was a matter of one tree pulling out the next one as it fell, and using a stout rope, and that was the leverage that they used. And so it went, one tree after another. And of course, they worked carefully, because if they miscalculated, it meant they had to dig out, all of the tree or some of the tree by hand. And those roots, that is to say. And it was a big chore to dig it out by hand instead of pull it out with the leverage of another tree. So, of course, I thought of farming and how farming had changed. In a way, it's changed because it's a much larger scale and the equipment that is used is much larger. Even though the basics have remained the same, it's different. So we can be thankful to God that we have been able to develop so much amazing technology and machinery to farm. It's just wow. Yeah, I think of how we have really developed so much in our minds and plannings. We people, look at what we've done with technology and mechanics. We have been able to make cars and, all sorts of things, just wonderful things. And then we take it down to a smaller scale, and we have made computers and calculators. Wow. You know, that wasn't always the case. It was so different decades ago. Well, I thought of farmers this weekend, or last week, and because of the orchard, and I thought about how, in a sense, we are all farmers, because we all have a certain crop based on our thoughts. And as we think, we produce things in our life. And whether it's a good thought or a bad thought, are we thinking wholesome? Are we acting wholesome? Or are we letting the weeds grow up in our thoughts and our actions? Well, it certainly is a question, isn't it? We want to keep ourselves clean, and really the word is holy. And I thought about, where is our country today? Our country is not so wholesome. There are so many things taught to our children that lead to, some pretty seriously, what do I call them? They're ideas that I don't want my children to have or grandchildren to have. And I thought about how, as the years go by, so many things have changed. Just think of 200 years ago. 200 and some years ago was the founding of the nation. And I think about all those years that this nation has taught biblical principles to its children. A part of that has been in the readers that were used. Maybe you have heard of the McGuffey reader, but there are a couple of them, and they all use Bible principles and Bible stories to teach the children. And thus they get the ethics that are taught in the Bible. And the country was a pretty good place to live there. People knew the difference between what is normally right and wrong. And nowadays, it's another parameter. So just be thankful that we had parents and grandparents that turned out pretty good. That's good. But nowadays, how do kids turn out? What is taught in school? Well, it's not the biblical parables. Nope, but instead, schools are teaching all sorts of things, like how to put a condom on a banana. And what other sex do they want to be? Do they want to be what they are or a different one? Well, yeah, I have a friend and his wife runs a daycare here locally. And a part of what they have to be so careful about telling the children is about their sexuality. And also that the idea is they can choose the sex they want. And that that is a factor in what happens with the children. Do you really think they can choose the sex that they want to be? Well, I wonder where it's all going to end up. Well, I suppose the next step is if they can choose whatever they want, including what sex they're going to be, do you think that in another year or so they will get to decide if they are a human being or an alien being? Ha! I don't know. It's just where is this headed? And we have so much science that advances the human condition. I do also wonder if there will be enhanced human bodies so that somehow the children can choose to be one of those if they want to. It sounds a little bit like a demonic idea or demonic technology to be able to make any choice you want just like that. And by the way, do you think we can choose back to what we used to be? Or once we make a choice, is the choice made? Good question, and I don't know how they will view it, but it's an area that I wouldn't want to have to deal with, that's for sure. There's a lot of things that are being developed in technology, and part of it is the military developing things. There's the DARPA, Defense Agency for Research Projects. It's pretty much that, but it is DARPA. And they develop lots of technology, and not only does our military do that, but every military power in the world develops technology, and they do it in oh so many different ways. What are we going to have to deal with in the future? I sure don't know, and I wonder about it. There's lots of information out there that just kind of gets your attention, and you wonder about, I wonder about, what is it that they are doing? It is almost like they are seeking to have a non-human soldier, one that takes orders and does what it is commanded. It's just a pretty big question. Where is this headed? Is it human or non-human? Yep, good question. Well, all this information is available to people who want to look. It is available. You don't have to buy any special books. So much information is available just by going to the internet now. And it doesn't mean it's all correct. But it means that there's a lot of information, and you can look at it all. Just be sure to use your discernment. And I think prayer is the first step to discernment. Ask God to help you to see and understand from His point of view. Well, look and look and look, because the more you look, the more you learn. And that way you'll be able to make decisions that are as proper as can be. Of course, we get to be really, really busy, and somehow we just don't have enough time to pursue those things that bring us knowledge, to give us information, to make discernment. So this is one of the things we have to do. We have to look at what is there and discern it, whether it's the internet or a conversation with a person. Be sure to look at having that discernment and see things from God's point of view. Because in life gets very busy, and I know that we all are trying to pursue one thing or another. That's just life. We look at things, and we have things we want, and we pursue them. That's a human condition. That's been happening in history over and over and over. And so the people that are well known in history, they were probably pretty one-sided, or they had power to have other people working on what they wanted. So we still have to look at that discernment part and try to use discernment to get God's understanding, and that doesn't change. And when you look at discernment that people have, it can change. So by all means, give it some really good examination and see where it all ends up. We do have to look at the big picture of life and what we're pursuing. If we get too caught up in the details, we can lose our way. And we do want to look at the big picture. Remember that there is always a battle going on between good and evil. And we do want to know what's in front of us. Otherwise, we can stumble. And I think of Proverbs 22:3, and it tells us, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Yeah, they get consequences. So that's about the same thing that's said in Proverbs 27:12. So there's two Proverbs that talk about that if you're prudent, you'll see evil. If you are not looking, then you will get the consequences of not seeing the things that are coming up. And it's pretty much the same today. We have things in front of us. And how many times does it take for us to learn the lesson? Sometimes we learn it several times because we didn't learn it the first time. So be sure to apply your understanding and seek God's understanding for whatever is in front of us and what we are to do with it and about it. Life is so full of many different things. We often get caught in the small things that are just everyday we deal with, whether it's about the food we eat or our entertainment or relations with people. We just have to be careful that we apply the righteousness of God to every area. And that's the little areas and the big areas as well. It's all of it. Well, we want to do what we can to understand God's perspective and put that into our thinking and our decisions. I think of Joshua chapter 24, 12, no, chapter 24, 14, 15. And Joshua had a contest with who was going to be their God. So the question became, who are you going to serve? Which God? And will it be the God of the Israelites or the God of the Amorites? And true God or false God? So you have to make this choice this day and every day. Whom are you going to serve? Which God? The God of the Bible, or, well, just name it, any other God. And you want to serve the God of the Bible, who is the true God. And do a little research into it. You'll see that the God of the Bible is the one true God. So have a look at that. Another thing that people get a little confused about is serving their own wants and desires, whatever they want at that moment. And they think about, just themselves. And what happens is they serve themselves instead of the God of the Bible. So look at all the things in your life and make choices. If you don't examine it and if you don't make choices, I don't know where you end up, but it's it changes. So look at all the little things and the big things and remember to put your perspective focused on and centered around God of the Bible. I think of another one, that's Matthew 7:13, and it tells us to enter at the narrow gate, because the gate which leads to hell is wide, and the road is easy, and many there be who travel upon it. So you want to get to the good place, you have to enter in through the narrow gate. So be careful that you are following that narrow path and walking with God through Jesus Christ, depending on Jesus. Yep. Choose Jesus and also repent. Well, anyway, let's see. So, yes, we have to make these choices every day in life, and that means the little ones and the big ones. Choose the path which leads to heaven. Oh, we are around so many people, and we talk to people, and we get different information and different ideas. And I think it's so very important to have discernment, because you can get information from all sorts of sources that you might not want to take, that even if they're even if it's a Christian source, because there's lots of variations in, well, about everything. And so you want to make sure you have your understanding, that you follow first with God's parameters, and then you make everything discerned. I know last week I heard a pastor talk about getting flu shots, and I think that it's not a good thing to put a substance into your body, especially flu shots, because the flu shots have thimerosal, and thimerosal is a preservative that is made up of, well, I think it's 49% mercury. It's about half. And, you know, I just don't think you or me need any mercury in our body, especially our children, and any pregnant woman doesn't need any of those things in their body. So be sure to use discernment, even from trusted sources. Just make sure that you're applying biblical principles to everything. I know I've gone to lectures about vaccinations, and I've heard PhDs and I've heard medical doctors talk about how there were big problems with vaccinations. And, well, we all have our own ideas about that, don't we? I know there's plenty of people who see that also, and most of the people are willing to take the word of the authorities and say, well, the doctors say it's okay, so I'm going to take those injections, and they do. But I hope you look it up and search it out for yourself, because there is a pretty big difference of opinion about whether vaccinations are safe or not. There's even plenty of people who talk about there being a link between autism and vaccinations. I know I once was looking that up on a website, and I was reading about the authorities. Part of it was CDC, part of it was doctors, and they were of the opinion that there was a link between autism and vaccination. Well, I shouldn't say opinion. They were using medical literature. But what I found interesting was that just about an hour later, after I was looking up that information, an infomercial popped up on my computer to tell me that there was no link between vaccines and autism. And I thought that was just kind of funny. They know everything you're looking at. They track you and watch you, and you are categorized based on what you look at. I don't think there's a way around it. I really don't. Now, maybe maybe you know how, but I don't. And I also know we have to be true to who we are in Christ Jesus. And so there are going to be consequences for who we are and what we believe. And about the vaccinations and the autism, you will have to study that out for yourself. We all have to study. There's a pro and a con for every argument, and you just have to see what is sensible, see what the good and the evil forces are about it, and pray for discernment. We all need discernment for everything. The little decisions, the big decisions, we all need discernment. So pray for it. Yeah. Well, I know that without vaccinations, your children cannot go to public school, and that makes it a pretty tough choice if you don't want to vaccinate your children, because that means you're going to have homeschooling as your option, and that takes a commitment. Well, who says having children isn't a commitment? But having children and then educating them, that's a bigger commitment, that's for sure. So you have to look at the choices and to figure what risks are you willing to take with your children, with your grandchildren. It's just a question. Or with your flu shots, are you willing to have the consequences if you have made a mistake? No answer here. I know there's another argument that people have used, and that is if the nurse or doctor giving the injection didn't shake up the container of vaccination enough, that they might get a concentration of that thimerosal, which is mercury. It's a question I don't think there's any answers to, but we sure hear a lot of people who have opinions and experiences. And well, there is science also, and there's really quite a lot. A lot has been done in the last 10 years, and if this is one of your concerns, it's a very good idea to look at it and to try to figure it out for yourself, for your children. Because these things don't just go away. These things stay in their body. Well, I don't mean to talk about that forever, but let's see what else. How's our economy going? How's your economy going? How's the world's economy going? There's people who have prophesied about the economy too. And like I've said before, I am always very, very cautious about prophecy. I don't want to believe it, but I listen to it and I kind of remember it. But there's a lot of people who have said in one way or another that we are going to have some really hard times, a collapse of the system in effect. And you have to wonder, how will this happen? When will this happen? And I know there's quite a few people who are secularly minded, and they say there's going to be a system-wide crash. And whether they're secular or Christian, there's plenty of people who say this is what is needed to bring in a one-world system. Yeah, I think it kind of does. A crash, a collapse of everything, and then a new structure put into place. That makes sense, doesn't it, from that point of view? So I guess we have a little bit to go through one of these years, and it's going to be pretty tough. And we have to think about how are we going to relate to the world, we Christ followers? How are we going to fulfill the commandments of God, of Jesus Christ, if there is such hard times? What if there is trouble coming up? What are we going to do? Well, I think of that, the great commandment, which is to love God. In brief, it's love God. And the other one is to love your neighbor. It's like it. So how do you obey God and have compassion for your neighbor? Well, you think about the life to come, for one thing, because that is certainly more important than this life. Eternal life. Just think about it. Where do you want to spend eternity? Even if we have some really, really tough things for this life, we sure don't want to have eternal consequences. So that's where Jesus fits in. We are thankful that we have Jesus. Anyway, the consequences, we want to always be concerned about what's how we're going to relate to God and the world and our neighbor. It's just what we do. And in the midst of all the little things that concern us in life, well, we have the big picture things to worry about too, like our relation with God and our relation with our neighbor. So little concerns can be very distracting. I mean, just think if the price of gasoline was to increase a lot, let's say $1.50 a gallon, I think we would all be pretty concerned about that. Now, I'm not trying to predict that, but I am aware that there has been brewing in the Middle East a conflict, and it's kind of brewing again right now. I don't know if it'll make a difference, but it sure could be. There's hot spots all over the Middle East. You look at Iran, sure. Look at Saudi Arabia, the strike that was just there. There's Palestine and Israel. There's Turkey is involved in a lot of things. There is just a lot of strife. I'm naming not even half of the conflicts. And then you want to add a little more into that? Well, just think about our military bases. I've heard that there's 800 military bases that the U.S. has around the world. Now, those might be small, they might be big, really and truly, I don't know. I just remember that number, 800, because I remember the eight, and in 80 countries. So I wish I'd actually fact-checked that, but I didn't, but I think it's correct. The point is we have a lot of things going on in our world, a lot of potential concerns for conflict, and those, in a way, are distractions from the main principles of things, of love. It's loving God and loving your neighbor. So always go back to those basic principles of life, and that is love. And don't let the conflicts distract you too much. Of course, we have to be aware of them because we don't want to be caught in violence. Violence, war, hatred, any of that. We don't want to be caught in the conflicts that involve drug use. Nope. Oh, or guns. I've heard something funny the other day. Well, it was that if the government cannot control drugs, how do you expect the government to control guns if there is gun control? I just had to laugh when I heard that. Kind of true, isn't it? How are we going to control anything as a government when we have people that are out of control? Out of control as in they don't know the principles to live by, godly principles. Well, we have issues, don't we? Just living life, there are issues that come up. We have family issues. We have government issues. All sorts of things to divide us. And as a people, as a nation, we don't want to be divided because there's a theory called divide and conquer. And if there is division and internal fighting, there's not unity. And that means it's easier for a force to come in and dominate the country or the people group that is divided. So what do we do? I think what we do is we get back to the basic principles. principles of Christianity. Those were basic to the founding of our country. Basic Christianity. Basic Christian principles. And that might be hard to do these days because there's so much going on in our world, in our society. It is a lot of people that oppose Christianity or oppose any rule, any set of rules to rule over them. And what's the answer? Wow. The answer, I think, is to be faithful to what you know. And that's the God of the Bible and His laws. Well, society is really going on a difficult path, I think. It's going to be difficult because there's so many things that are allowed that are going to cause conflict. There's things that people don't want to do, and they're being forced to do them. Huh. You know, that's one of the reasons for people are so anxious to see the rapture, because they don't like the conditions here on earth, and they can just hardly wait to get raptured out of here. Well, I think the rapture could come quickly. I really do. But I also think that it could be a very long time in coming. I don't see one way or another. I see both possibilities. Is the rapture a long ways in the future or just around the corner? There are really indications for both. Yeah. I think of Revelation chapter 22. And Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." And that was 2,000 years ago. So what does quickly mean anyway? Yep, we wonder about that, don't we? Because from the human point of view, quickly is pretty quick. And about all we know that comes quick is disasters, and the end of our life comes quick. So I think what we really want to do is be ready for all sorts of things to happen. Be ready for disasters with preparedness. And of course, be ready for the end of your life, because at one point, probably a little bit unexpected, you're going to meet your Maker and I'm going to meet mine, and we're going to say, well, I'm going to say hallelujah, because Jesus is wonderful. So, the idea of meeting your Maker is something that a lot of people don't like, because that includes judgment. Why, even in Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed to men once to die and then judgment. And see, people just don't like the idea of being judged. But that's what Jesus does. And of course, what this means to me is to say, live a life where you can be judged by God and have the covering of Jesus Christ, which is to become a born-again believer and have His perfect righteousness covering you. So, like I say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Ready for who knows what, because there can be a lot of things that can happen. And we just don't know. Is it an immediate concern that we need to pay attention to? Or is it a longer-term concern? Well, we just don't quite know, do we? A lot of unknowns go on in our life and in our world. And I think it's always a good thing to pay attention to what our basic physical needs are. And our financial needs, too. Short-term and long-term financial needs and financial planning. Oh, I was thinking about the government. And for years, the government has been saying that we should have 3 days of food and water. And it's kind of funny, because I know by the statistics, they say that very few people, I mean less than 10%, have a 3-day supply of food and water, which is separate from their normal food. So now I think that with In the last few years, there has been an increase in people being concerned about the future and troubles that could go on. So I'm not sure that that number is correct anymore, but it's still a pretty low number when you consider what if there was a week or a month that we did not have water and food. Well, you can only imagine the panic that that would create and the great need of everybody to have water and food. It would be one very difficult time. Well, the government is saying things like we ought to be prepared for a cyber attack or even an electrical grid down caused by terrorism. And in the last several months, there have been more and more people who have been concerned with that kind of a big preparedness need. And so there have been more people in the last year, for instance, that have gotten some emergency supplies, some preparedness supplies. And if you really look at what the major problems are that could occur, yeah, it does make sense to get some preparedness products, get some water and food and warmth. And see, those are what I think of. Water, food, and warmth. Those are just the fundamentals, the very most basic needs. And of course, there's all sorts of people who think that you should have so much more. And that's fine too. But at least have the basics covered. Because if we have a disaster, it'll be life-threatening, really. And it's easiest to prepare when you can. If you wait until there is a disaster, there's no time to prepare. And it just makes it really expensive and difficult to find the things that you want. So, yeah, start preparing now, by all means. Just start. And 3 days of water and food and a few other things, well, it's a start. They say now that you should be concerned for a number of weeks of having your preparedness needs. There's even some agencies that talk about having 6 months. Well, if there was a cyber attack or a grid down situation, you would certainly need 6 months of water, or I should say water filter and food, because things just don't happen quickly when you have that kind of a catastrophe. It takes a long time for the systems to start working again. And just give it some thought and try to figure it out for yourself. What can you do? Start. Get some things together. I know there have been people in the world who have lived through societal collapses, economic collapses, and sometimes they go on tour and talk about it. Sometimes they write books. In the last few decades, there have been several countries that have had a collapse, and the people that have gone through that collapsed period, they talk about what you need. They talk about the trouble with money or economy things or just your day-to-day needs, or maybe it's that you need soap, or it can be the most basic things, and when you're lacking, you're really lacking everything. And then they get to have a system of trade. Now, that's barter, but you don't want to barter or trade away your good things that you're going to use anyway. So it's just a great big question about what is valuable and what do you have in your storage supplies. And I always think water and food, because you can't go very long without water and food. The people who have been through those societal breakdowns or economic collapses, they always say, never, never, ever will I be unprepared. So they prepare they have recognized the gravity of the situation, and they don't want it to happen again. So even if they're in this country, if they have managed to relocate to the United States, they still have those basic concerns. Because anything can happen. If it happened to them before, when they thought they were all safe and in good condition, it could happen again. Because after all, doesn't just about everybody think that we are safe and in a good condition? Yep, pretty much we do. So I say, learn from the different experiences in life. It's sometimes hard to recognize that something could happen to us. But it can. And that's a part of what you have to look at for an overall picture of how you want to be prepared. Because all sorts of things happen in life. We all have troubles. You know, people go broke. That's another one. And businesses go broke. Oh, and cities go broke. Oh, there's plenty of cities and states that are selling off their assets. In the last couple of years, it's happened. And they do that so they can pay their retirement funds. They are going broke. And so those things can happen again. And how about our nation? Our nation at $22 trillion in debt? Yeah, they can go broke too. So, see, we ordinary, normal people, we are in such danger as well because we have loans, we have credit cards, and what happens if we can't borrow anymore? We sell what we have, and basically, we go bankrupt because nobody's going to lend us money. That's really what happens. And I have that concern for the country as well. Well, what will happen if no one is willing to lend us the money as a country? Well, I've listened to economic people for the last couple of years, like two, and there has been more and more people in these last 2 years who talk about a great big serious crisis coming. And some of them might call it a major recession. Others might call it a collapse. Different ideas. But the point that I mean to say is that there's lots of people and a growing number of people who say hard times are coming to our nation, to the people here. So I think it's good to listen. Listen and try to figure out what you would do. And, of course, the big thing is cut your debt. Eliminate debt if at all possible and have a savings account. And I also think of saving in terms of having food and supplies because if you don't have them, you sure need them. Well, there are different... Everything's different for a whole lot of different people. And somehow we've got to figure out what it would mean to us and how we want to act on it. Because if there is a money crisis, oh, like there was in 1929 for the Great Depression, nobody could get a loan. The money dried up. And so what happens? Well, even nowadays, oh, people use their credit cards, but so many people are maxed out on their credit cards, they can't get any more money to spend. It's kind of like being broke. So what happens next? Oh, well, a little bit different thing is happening now. The interest rates are falling. Some countries even have negative interest rates. Where if you put your money in the bank, you don't get back that same amount in a few years. Amazing. Economic rules are being broken. And what does that mean? It means uncertainty. And we can't even guess what it really means because we've not ever, ever in history seen negative interest rates. We don't know what will happen. It is breaking all the rules of the last 100 years, 1,000 years, or longer. it doesn't happen, and we don't know what it means. But there can be some really difficult times coming, because this is unheard of to have negative interest rates. And we know that there have been economies and nations in the past that have had collapses or really great big problems. Sure, the U.S. dollar did a couple of times in history. The German mark did. Of course, in the 1920s was one of the German mark's great failings. The Russian ruble has had several failings. And recently, the Iranian dinar has had a collapse also. So monies really and really do collapse. And what happens is that it seems the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And that's also what happens with inflation. Somehow, the big money interests are able to manipulate their money so that they get more. And that's not like us little people who live on Social Security. Sure, we can do some things, but pretty much we are in the system too. It's been so hard to live and to save money, and the money that we do gets eaten up by inflation. Yeah. That's the way it is. And so we struggle to get by on our $1,000 a month or whatever it is, Social Security. And I know there's people who get $3,000 a month, and I say, wow. And I look at my parents who got right around $400 a month. Of course, that was a few decades ago. But it just goes to show we are having inflation in this country, whether we see it or not. It's there, and it's affecting our economy. Inflation typically means we are headed towards an economic collapse. But the speed of inflation has been controlled, mostly. And so it's just a question of what will happen next. We really don't know what will happen next. But there's another factor in all of it, and that is our spiritual condition, because our spiritual condition brings on a lot of what happens in the economy of a country. That's my observations. Of course, you're free to make yours, but those are mine. I know that things in the world have been happening that are directing us closer to a kind of a collapse, and more people are thinking that as well. It doesn't mean it's sure. It doesn't mean it'll happen, but it means that it could happen. And whether it happens quickly or slowly, I just think a little preparation is a great idea. So get prepared for the just in case we have great times, or in case we have a complete collapse of our money system. I really think that we could see either one, but probably the difficult times. So get prepared for the just in case. That's what I always think. What if there is a collapse? Prepare now while we can, because when we can get supplies and food is the time to get it, not when there's a scarcity. So another part of if there is hard times, we need to think of the human element, which is to have a human bonding with one another, where we learn to depend on one another. That's one of the things that's good about hard times, is we develop our relationship, of course, with God when we speak to Him and when we learn to listen to Him and when we learn to depend on other people and have interactions with people. Oh, it's so important. So that's what I hope that you think about that too. Think about the what if and what do you do, and have a few preparations for the just in case. Remember that Don't be overwhelmed by the distractions and the panic things that are going on around you and me and the world. A lot of things can, the spiritual comfort of the Bible can help when you read that. So I urge you to read the Bible too. Know God, know His Word, and remember that every life is valuable, including that of an infant, either a born infant or an unborn infant. Life is valuable. So make an effort to preserve your life and the life of the people around you, and that includes the greater number of people around you. It's our society and how we all have to depend on each other. Think about relationship and preserving life. That's just a good thing, I think. It's pretty simple in concept, but another simple thing is for you to have your simple needs on hand, and that is the preparedness aspect, and it means water or a water filter, food of your choice, which is a huge variation in availability and in expense. So think about that. I like to think of those basic, most basic elements, which is whole grains, sugar, salt, and oil, and a manual food grinder for the just in case, and warm clothes for keeping yourself healthy. Now, you can always take a simple approach or an extravagant approach to all these different things. But the thing is your choices are going to have consequences, and we don't know what and we don't know when, but be prepared for the just in case. And I know I've been warned about that, and that surprised me very much that people were warning me to be prepared. So I will pass on that warning and tell you, get prepared. And it's not quite like I know how or for what, because we always get surprises in life. So I want to thank you for listening today to Christ Today, and you can listen to the broadcasts again by going to www.christtoday.org. All lowercase, no spaces, and you can get my preparedness pamphlet by writing me with the self-addressed envelope, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California 95927. And until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord.